Trend number one. What happened to all of those green jobs? In 2008, during a debate that helped to vault him to the presidency, Barack Obama declared, "This is not just a challenge, it is an opportunity. Because if we create a new energy economy, we can create 5 million new jobs easily here in the United States." It was a vision that sounded too good to be true. Not only would the U.S. end its reliance on fossil fuel, but the wounded economy would be healed as millions of Americans went back to work. But today, 5 years later, despite massive subsidies and numerous policy decisions favorable to the renewable energy industry, virtually none of those 5 million green jobs has materialized. In March 2013, the BLS released its latest report on green jobs, which, according to Investors Business Daily, is so far from the truth that if it were published as a book, it would deserve a place at the top of the New York Times bestseller fiction list. The BLS report defines green jobs as those that produce goods or services that benefit the environment or conserve natural resources, or jobs in which workers' duties involve making their establishment's production processes more environmentally friendly or use fewer natural resources. By that definition, there are now more than 3.4 million green jobs, accounting for 2.6% of all jobs in the economy. But as in prior reports, the BLS is defining green jobs so loosely that it can include clothing stores, television and radio broadcasters, and office furniture manufacturers as green industries. So where are the real green jobs, the ones that are truly devoted to wind and solar energy? They're out there. There just aren't many of them. The BLS counts a mere 2,724 jobs for wind electric power generation. Under solar electric power generation, it counts just 522 jobs. Let's put that in perspective, shall we? There were 155,835,000 Americans who were employed in June 2013. Yet there were just 3,246 jobs in the U.S. based on generating green electric power. On a recent list of the 10 smallest professions in America on 247wallstreet.com, using BLS statistics, the smallest profession was farm labor contractors with 300 jobs. Second smallest was fabric menders, except garment, with 800 jobs. In other words, according to the BLS's own statistics, there are currently fewer Americans working in the solar electric power industry than there are people whose job it is to fix holes in parachutes. There are also more people employed as radio operators, wood pattern makers, geographers, and locomotive firers. Even if we combine the wind and solar jobs, they add up to just 3,246 out of the 3.4 million green jobs counted by the BLS, roughly one for every 100,000 claimed in the report. Where are the rest of the green jobs? They simply don't exist. According to Nick Loris of the Heritage Foundation, you don't have to scratch the surface too deeply to realize that these numbers are bogus. The bottom line is that most so-called green jobs are not green, and actual green jobs, which involve creating a new economy based on clean energy, are rare. And ironically, as we'll discuss later, the U.S. economy has been aggressively creating jobs in the fossil fuel industry. To be fair, some of the key parts of Obama's Green Jobs program were never implemented. His proposals for cap and trade and renewable electricity mandates wilted in Congress. But as a recent Washington Examiner article points out, California adopted Obama's entire Green Jobs agenda. So the state provides a perfect test case for how the agenda would play out if it were enacted on a national scale. What's the bottom line? California is worse off than it was when it went green. The state now holds the dubious honor of having the highest gasoline prices in the U.S. at 40 cents per gallon higher than the national average. Environmental regulations have forced many oil refineries out of business, leading to less competition and higher prices at the pump. Californians already pay 39% more for electricity than the national average, and prices will soon go even higher thanks to the renewable energy mandate. That mandate forces utilities to produce 30% of their electricity from renewable sources by 2020. Because the power companies will have to purchase more expensive electricity from renewable sources, the Pacific Research Institute estimates that electricity rates will rise by at least 13%. Meanwhile, companies throughout the state are feeling the pain of the new regulations. According to the California Chamber of Commerce, cap and trade will cost state businesses $1 billion per year. No wonder companies are fleeing the state for friendlier places like Texas, leaving fewer big taxpayers to support California's overburdened social programs. Perhaps these high costs would be worth the sacrifice if the green programs led to the creation of new jobs. But the BLS reports that, even by its questionable definition of a green job, less than 2,500 green jobs have been created in California since 2010. During roughly the same period since the end of the recession, the state has added a total of more than 556,000 total jobs. Looking ahead, we foresee the following developments. First, history will show that the U.S. green jobs agenda was a failure. This is not to say that we won't arrive at a green economy by another route in a different time frame. Everyone wants to protect the environment. Everyone wants to eliminate dependency on foreign oil. And everyone wants to see the U.S. create jobs. However, the subsidies and regulations that favor wind and solar energy haven't led to any positive results. According to the Wall Street Journal, all of the grants, loans, and tax breaks for alternative energy ended up costing the economy about $12 billion in 2012. Furthermore, the $400 million Green Jobs Training Program that was included in the 2009 stimulus fell far short of success, according to an audit by the Labor Department's Inspector General reported in the Washington Times. That audit concluded that half of the workers receiving the training already had jobs in the energy industry and didn't need to be retrained. Bottom line, only 38% of the trainees received jobs based on the skills they learned, and only 16% still had their jobs after 6 months. Second, in the window leading up to 2030, widespread green energy jobs will remain blocked by the simple realities of physics and economics. Consider desert-based solar energy. As highlighted recently in MIT Technology Review, the huge Ivanpah Concentrating Solar Power, or CSP, plant in California will begin providing enough energy to power 140,000 homes by the end of 2013. One reason it is even close to economic feasibility is that it's located in a desert, where there is lots of sun and lots of cheap land. However, CSP plants need access to a large supply of water for cooling. At Ivanpah, on-site wells supply the plant with water, but those will be depleted in the coming years and no one has developed a dry cooling alternative. For photovoltaics, water is only needed to clean the panels, but that raises the second major problem facing desert solar: dust. Solar panels and mirrors need to be cleaned almost daily. 1 gram of dust per square meter of solar panel area can reduce efficiency by around 40%. By the time photovoltaics reach cost-competitive efficiencies in the late 2020s, cost-effective dust removal possibilities should include electrostatic cleaning or mechanical systems that brush off the panel once a day without scratching it. However, that still leaves the enormous cost of transmission. Traditionally, power plants haven't been built in deserts. High voltage lines can cost millions of dollars per mile. In a world where clean coal, natural gas, and next-generation nuclear fission are all going to get cheaper, wind, water, and solar are going to have a hard time catching up. And third, a new, cleaner energy economy will create millions of jobs in this decade. It just won't be the type of energy that President Obama envisioned. Since his presidency began, the U.S. economy has created only 1.2 million jobs, and many of those jobs involve extracting, producing, and distributing fossil fuels. Going forward, the North American energy revolution, based on fracking and horizontal drilling, has the potential to create directly and indirectly 21.8 million net new jobs in the U.S. as soon as 2020.